the shooting stops. You have to understand that there's 100,000 soldiers that are represented in this battle. The German soldiers begin to light candles and place them on the top of their bunkers. This is the Great Trench War, if you don't know about that. What that means is that they did all of the fighting in the trenches. As the singing began, the British and French soldiers who heard the singing and understood the tune began to sing Silent Night along with them. The shooting stopped, the guns were put down, and shortly after that, a white flag was raised from the German trenches. And out walks a German soldier carrying a bag of tobacco and a bag of chocolate. He dared enter into what was called the no man's land. And the no man's land was a space between the trenches where many dead lied that night. He walked up to the middle of the field and he laid the tobacco and the chocolate on a rock, wishing his enemy Merry Christmas. He returned to the bunker. As he returned to the bunker, the British soldiers who saw him doing this stood up and responded in the same way, daring to leave the trenches. They left this trench and they came forward, and there in the middle of the battlefield, they began to exchange Christmas greetings. At this time, what happened was all 100,000 soldiers entered into this no man land. And they spent the evening wishing each other Merry Christmas, exchanging gifts, exchanging buttons off of their outfits. They even cut each other's hair. One British soldier who said in his writings, he goes, "I never thought I would have a razor so close to a German soldier and not cut off his head." But instead, what he did was cut his hair. They exchanged these gifts all night as they celebrated the peace of Christmas. See, today, I want to talk to you about this message of peace. This battlefield that was happening in Germany. You can bring the music down, Germany. Thank you. This battlefield in Germany is a place that you would never expect the peace of Christmas to reside. You would never imagine the peace that would flow out. This was a place of war. But that evening, what happened is that German soldiers and British soldiers not only exchanged gifts, but they helped each other remove the dead soldiers that laid in between. It was an amazing picture of what the true meaning of Christmas really is. See, when we talk about the message of Christmas and we talk about these things, we talk about peace. Last week we talked about hope. This week we talk about peace. When Isaiah calls out to his message, his prophetic message to the people, and he says, Jesus will be called the Prince of Peace. Many individuals that day and during those times and for the years leading up to Jesus' birth thought that this meant that he would bring peace amongst all the wars in the land. We know that Jesus has come, we know that Jesus has gone, but we also know that there's not truly peace in this world. If you look around, there's many wars still being fought or have been fought over the years. And so how do we grasp with this idea that Jesus, being the Prince of Peace, has come, is here today, but yet there is not peace amongst us? The message of peace is a very crucial part of Christmas season and the message that Jesus brings to us. You simply cannot have Christmas without peace. One of my favorite Christmas songs is Silent Night, the song that you heard the Germans playing just now. Jeremy was playing it in the German language. But it's a beautiful sound, Silent Night. We think of, I love Christmas Eve when I'm laying there and the kids have gone to bed over the years. As kids were young, my wife and I would just take a moment as the kids were in bed sleeping. And we were preparing for the next day and all of the excitement that would come, and we would just sit by the tree and look at the lights in complete darkness, the peace that comes. See, the truth of the matter is that we look for the Prince of Peace in many different ways. But Jesus came to bring us not just peace in this world in terms of wars. He brought us peace in our hearts. We're going to go over this more. If you have your Bibles with you today, join with me as we open up Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with the judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's read verse 7 one more time. Of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end. I'm also going to read to you John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let's pause and pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of all that you have done for us. Most importantly, we thank you for being the Prince of Peace. As we come here celebrating the message of Christmas, we think of the many times when peace has seemed fleeting. Today could even be one of those days in our lives. But Lord, you promise us, that you are the Prince of Peace, that you bring peace to our lives. Lord, may we hold tightly to this idea of peace and what it means for us today, and what it means for you to be the Prince of Peace. Lord, guide us and direct us. Holy Spirit, come into our lives today. Come into our hearts today. Remove any hindrances that we have that keep us from grasping and grabbing a hold of what you would have to say to us today through these messages. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our eyes so that we can see all that you would speak to us. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. Lord, I pray my words would not be my own, they would truly be your words, Father, as we look to the Prince of Peace for the peace that we need during this season and every day of our lives. We'll be sure to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. What an amazing picture of what peace really is. I'm always amazed at this idea of what happened in that day, December 24th, 1914, in that battlefield on the Western Front, as the British and French soldiers faced the German soldiers that day, and how that all happened. That's just an amazing story of peace. You know, it's interesting, and this is just a side note, the very first person to end that peace, anyone know who that was, besides these guys back there, because I told them already this morning? Adolf Hitler. He was the first person who shot after this peace ended on Christmas, the night of Christmas Day. He shot a British soldier as he was returning to the bunker. Of course he did, right? Yes. In a world filled with war and violence, it's just difficult for us to see how Jesus could be the all-powerful God who acts in human history and can be the embodiment of peace. But physical safety and political harmony don't necessarily reflect the kind of peace that he's talking about. See, when we grasp a hold of this idea of peace, when we grasp a hold of what Jesus is coming to be, the Prince of Peace, we have to look at this word peace. The word peace in Hebrew comes from the word shalom. It is a greeting. It's a hello greeting. It's also a goodbye greeting. It's a greeting that the Jewish people often use, shalom. It's a greeting that Jesus used often when he was here on this earth. We see this word, this idea of peace, and we wonder what it's like. But see, today when we think of peace, we think of political harmony. We think of no wars. We think of love and kindness and joy between people. We think that all of the issues, if we could only get to peace, all of the issues would go away. truth of the matter is that's not right. In our sinful state, we are enemies with God. Romans 5, verse 10 says that, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we are yet still sinners, Christ died for us. But because of Christ's sacrifice, because of what he did, he is coming to restore that relationship with us. The peace that Jesus brings to us is not political peace. We have to understand it. We have to grasp a hold of this. Just because Jesus came, even in the time of Jesus, we do not find political peace. And in fact, when Jesus walked the earth, there was many people who wanted to destroy him and kill him. There was the Roman soldiers who did not like him. There was the religious elite, the Jewish Sanhedrin and Pharisees who wanted to remove Jesus. There were still wars going on. The Roman soldiers were causing taxation of the Jewish people. There was many things going on that was not peace. And yet, here in the midst of all of it, is peace. We find this peace also, I don't have this verse, but we find this peace also in Mary's visit with the angel. As the angel comes down to Mary, reading in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly concerned and troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this was. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb a child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the kingdom, house of Jacob, forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary asked, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit came upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child will be born, and you will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son." We find this amazing story, and can I just have you in one moment put your feet or put your mind into Mary for a moment and see what Mary is greatly troubled at what this message the angel is bringing to her. And the angel comes to her, and the angel speaks to her, and the angel gives her this message, and Mary somehow is at peace. It's the same peace that we find hundreds, thousands of years later in 1914 in that battlefield. It's the same peace that we find when a young mother sits in a courtroom looking across the room at the gentleman who killed her daughter and says, "I forgive you." It's the same peace that you and I can have in the midst of a troubled season or time in our life when everything seems to be going haywire, when we have so many things to do or accomplish, so many things, the bills are mounting, the finances are dropping, and we have all of these trouble, and what can we do? We can find peace in the midst of all of that. See, peace is not something that you need a government to order. Yes, there is something called a peace agreement that happens between political enemies and war, when you're at war and those types of things. But this peace that Jesus brought was not to restore a political peace. It was to restore the peace inside our own hearts. It was the peace that he brought to restore a relationship through Jesus with God our Father. See, what had happened is that before this time, before Jesus came, our hearts, our bodies, our soul, our spirit, everything was at war with our own God the Father. We live in a sinful world. It started in the very early days of Adam and Eve's life when the devil tempted them and they ate of the apple. And what happened is that they were no longer at peace. The peace that Adam and Eve had prior to that moment when they ate of the fruit. I said apple again, I'm sorry. But when he ate of the fruit of the tree, the peace that they had was amazing before that moment. But when they ate of that fruit, what happened is that entered into their heart was this dysfunction of the understanding of sin and the understanding of what's going on. And from that moment on till the end of this world, those without Christ will be at war with God the Father. And what I mean by that is that sin in our life will be so prevalent that we have to put an end to that sin. That is why Jesus tells his disciples that he must die to himself. Pick up your cross and carry it daily. Walk with me. Die to yourself, he says. All of those are messages, because what he's saying is that we must put an end to the war that's inside of us. And the only way that we can do that is by accepting the Prince of Peace and what he brings for you and I. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that brings called to the one hope that belongs to you, your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of you as according to the measure of Christ's gift. I love this passage, and I love what's going on here. I love how in the midst of all of this, Paul is speaking to us. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. Paul is specifically writing this. And you know where he's writing this at? He says he's a prisoner of the Lord because he is truly in jail writing a letter. But yet, we find this idea of peace that surpasses all understanding. Paul grasps a hold of all of these things, and he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. See, what Paul is encouraging you and I to do is to take up the mantle of peace that Jesus has brought to us and live worthy. Because when we don't live worthy, when we don't live for God, when we don't live in Christ, what we are doing is allowing that peace that he brought to us to be overcome by the sin of this world. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace because what he does is he comes and he gives you the opportunity to be a servant of the Prince of Peace. In order to be a servant of the Prince of Peace means that you have to accept the peace that he has for you. And then Paul goes on and he says to not only walk in a worthy manner of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What Jesus is bringing to Paul and what Paul is speaking to you and I is that we must learn to not only walk in peace in our own hearts, but walk in peace with each other. What happens when you're at odds with someone? You allow unpleasant ideas, thoughts, words to rise up inside of you. You begin to think negatively of that person. You begin to think that that person has wronged you in some way. What God calls us to do, what Jesus is calling, what Paul is encouraging you and I to do, is to walk in that bond of peace, in that unity that comes with peace. How can we be in a unity of peace with someone that we may not even like? It's not us. It's Jesus. It's the Jesus inside of that person at peace with the Jesus that's inside of me. That brings us together and causes us to walk in that way. See, peace, being the peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus brings that to all of us. There's this wonderful saying I saw many, many years ago, no God, no peace. No God, no peace. I love the play on words, but the simple fact is that if you know God, then you will know peace, K-N-O-W. But if you have no God in your life, then you're most likely not going to have peace. Some of the I read a statistic the other day that somewhere along the lines of 75 to 85% of the population in the United States is dealing with some type of depression. That's a huge number, 75 to 85%. And I know it's just a small sample size, but I see this myself in many different places. Not only in other people, but I see that also in my own self. And what I have found is that when I am further away from God, I am further away from peace. And depression comes very quickly when you're away from God. But the closer I am to God, the more that I am in his life, I can appreciate the things that are around me. I can appreciate the things that he has given for me. This is true not only for us, but this is true of everyone else. See, the idea for us as Christians to understand that fact is simple. But for those outside of this world that don't know God, they don't really know peace. That's why we find looting and all of the things that happen. I mean, just over and over and over. It doesn't take very long to watch the news and see how this person attacked this person and a group of young men attacked and killed this person. Or they're going into stores and looting the stores and robbing the stores. I mean, this world is far from peace. Yet through all of this, we are called to be at peace with God. See, what Jesus did was he reconciled you and I in our relationship because we were at odds. The sin that was inside of our life, the sin that kept us from having that peaceful relationship with God the Father, we were now reconciled. It was not something that we could do on our own. There's nothing that you or I could have done to restore that peace with God. We broke that peace when sin entered into that world, and there was no way that we could overcome that. For years, hundreds and hundreds of years, people tried to live a perfect life, sacrificing animals and sacrificing and following the law. But it wasn't until Jesus came and revealed to us that through him we can have this peace, that we can actually grasp a hold of this. See, by reconciling us at peace with God the Father, Jesus allows us to take on a whole new life, a life that we are intended to be in him. Peace is possible only through him because he makes it available to us. We can have a restored peace with God the Father, and then we can have the idea. I love when someone says, "Pastor, I don't know how to deal with this." Well, either do I, but you know who does? God the Father. And so how can we go to God the Father? Well, we can go to God the Father because we have Jesus Christ, our Prince of Peace, who died for us on the cross. And so we go to him and we ask him for the wisdom that we need. It's only through that wisdom will we understand how to deal with people, how to deal with each other. It's often why when I'm doing marriage counseling with a couple, I will say to them, the very first thing I'll say to them is that we must seek the wisdom of God first. Because when we seek the wisdom of God and our hearts are in tune with not only each other, but are in tune with the Prince of Peace and God the Father, he will give us the wisdom. You want to know how to live a life that's peaceful and that can live in the world that seems at odds with everything that's going on? Be close to God. Be close to Jesus. He will give you peace in all of these things. Something happens when you come face to face with God. If you look at Scripture and you read the stories, especially in the Old Testament, and you see stories after stories of what happened. Every time someone, in fact, many times when Moses would go and meet with God, he would veil his face. I love the story of the burning bush. And as he went there, he said, God says, "This is holy ground. Take off your sandals. Take off your shoes." And so he does. But when he met with God, when he returned from meeting with God, the people around Moses said, "There's something different about him." They could see it in his face. The priests who entered into the holies of holies, the temples in the temple, would come back different. They would know, people would know as soon as they walked out of that place whether they met with God, because they were changed in an instant, just like that. Some of them, we hear in story in the Old Testament stories that sometimes their hair was turned as white as snow. They met with God and that was the impact. Moses was said that as he came back, there was a glimmer in his eyes that people just knew that he met with God. See, the truth of the matter is that when we come face to face with God, something amazing happens to us. But the only way that we can do that is through the Prince of Peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace because what he did was restore that ability for us to get face to face with God the Father. Jesus restored and set, and this is weird to say, but he removed God from the temple. He set God free. He set the Holy Spirit free. When the tearing of the veil happened as Jesus died on the cross, God was no longer regulated to one area. He was now free to be inside of us. He was free for us to have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Each one of us is possible to have this peace. We're able to have this relationship, to see God and be with him, to worship him in that way because of what Jesus did for you and I. When Jesus came, he made a way by being the Prince of Peace to reconcile us and give us the chance to be back in God's graces. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known, be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May I ask you a simple question today? Do you need the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? Every single one of us in this room should be shaking our head or saying, amen. Amen. Pastor Chaz, if there was ever a moment when we should be saying amen, amen, that's right now, right? Amen. The truth of the matter is that the peace of God, we need that peace of God. We need that peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Jay jokingly said that he had a stuck bolt and he was able to get that out. And that is a blessing from God. But I also believe that God caused that peace so he could do that. In the midst of our troubles, in the midst of our time, we can still be at peace. Do you know that you can be in the biggest trouble of your life yet still be at peace? Yeah. Do you know that you can be in the biggest financial issue of your life and yet still have peace? Amen. Do you know that you can be at the biggest medical difficulty in your life? You can have all the doctors coming against you and still be at peace? Do you know that you can have the worst relationship with your family? You could be at odds and fighting with each other. You could have people that not like you and yet still be at peace. And I will say amen to that because I've had a family like that before. Let me tell you. The peace of God surpasses all of our understanding, and thank God it does. Because you know, if it was up to me, my peace was, if you come to me and you treat me right, I'll treat you right, and that's peace, right? That's not God's peace, and thank God it isn't, because how many times have we treated God badly? How many times have we not lived the life that we should be living? How many times have we fallen to the problem of sin in our life? How many times have we done exactly what we should not have done? And yet God still offers you and I peace. See, the peace that surpasses all understanding is available to each and every one of us. Too often we look at peace as the road to making things easy, but that's not the truth. Jesus lived a life of peace. Do you understand that? He was a life of peace, yet look at every step of his life. He had no money. Right? Had no money. He had everybody except for 12 people trying to kill him, right? He had no place to call his own home. His own town that he came from did not like him and did not want him to stay here. His own family asked him to leave. He had someone at every odds, at every corner, trying to trick him into saying something that he should not say. And yet, here's a man, more than a man, God's son, who is at peace. I know it's Christmas and we celebrate Christmas, but you cannot think of Jesus' life of peace without thinking about what he did on the cross. Because even on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus didn't call down the legions of army to strike down the Roman soldiers who hung him on the cross. Jesus did not yell out and curse them, and he had the ability to do all of those things, yet he did none of that. Instead, he asked the Lord, he asked his Father to forgive them, for they knew not what they did. See, peace is not just the end of wars. Peace is not just having all the money that we would ever need. Peace is not just this wonderful opportunity to do or to live in a certain way of life. No, peace is what happens in your heart. When you have a relationship with Jesus, you can be at peace in your heart. When you have a relationship with him and you allow that Prince of Peace, you can go through life and you can take a deep breath and say, I don't need to get worked up about this because I serve the Prince of Peace. When we face issues in our life and we hear difficulties or we hear doctor's reports that are not good, we can have peace in our heart because we serve a God who understands and a God who's known as the Prince of Peace. See, today I want you to just take a moment and overcome all of that anxiety, all of that stress, all of those problems that are raging inside of your heart and raging inside of your mind and just say, how can I be at peace? How can I let the light of peace burn inside of my heart? Today you have that choice, and it starts with a relationship with Jesus. But just because you have a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean that your life will be peaceful. It doesn't mean that your life will be easy. It doesn't mean that your life will be all roses and golden streets. That does come at a time, but that's when we enter into heaven and we get to celebrate with him. This world is known as Satan's domain. We are in a war in this place. It's not with each other. It's not with physicalness. It's with spiritual authorities, demons, if you will. And they want nothing but to cause us to be all of those things, to be upset, to be anxious, to be stressful, to be stressed. But God comes in the midst of a season and he says that my Prince of Peace is here for you. I'm here for you. Can I ask you to just take some time this season to stop and see what the message of peace is really about? It's about having that peace inside your heart, having that peace inside of your mind, that even though you have the hustle and bustle of the season, all the gifts that need to be purchased, all of the things that need to be done, that we can stop and say, shalom. Shalom. Even the word sounds peaceful. Shalom. It's true. It's the peace that will help us to get through. May we walk in that shalom today. And may we be at peace, even when things are not well. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Peace is not an absence of issues. It's a restoration with God. Amen. Peace is not an end of conflict. Peace is a restoration with God, who then gives you the ability to overcome the conflicts in your life with peace. Will you stand with me today? I can't think of a better way to celebrate the message of Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and I than during this season to celebrate who the Prince of Peace is. May I encourage you today that if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, that today would be that day. If you're watching at home online, if you've never given your life to Christ, may today be that day where the Prince of Peace comes on your heart and it settles you down. Listen, we need that peace more than ever. We need to be the models of that peace. We need to be the ones that walk into a situation that's at odds and it's going crazy and just say, it's all right. God is here. That means there can be peace. We can walk into our life and our jobs. We should be known as those that have this peace that surrounds us. When things are going crazy at work, When things are going crazy in your family, when things are going crazy wherever you're at, do people look at you and say, how can you be so peaceful? They should. You should take a deep breath. Just utter the words, Shalom. I want that peace in my heart. I want that peace around me. Yeah, it won't take away all of the problems of my life. They're still going to be there. Family's still going to be fighting. Bills are still going to need to be paid, unfortunately. Doctors will still say what doctors say. But we can have peace in the middle of all of that because Jesus made a way for us to have that peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you have done. Lord Jesus, everywhere you went, one of the very first things that you said to people were Shalom. One of the things that you modeled more than anything in your life was peace. Every one of the disciples, every single one of them, every scripture that we have, every letter that was written has the word peace in it. Your disciples learned that they were to walk in peace, and it showed, Father, as they were martyred for their faith, they still held on to this peace. May we today be the idea, may we today be the examples of that peace in the world around us. When things go difficult, as they often do, when things seem to be hectic, may we walk in that peace. Not because it's anything that we have done or political parties have come to an agreement. No, because you have created an opportunity for us to be face to face with our God and our Father because of the restoration that you did, the reconciliation that you did between us by dying on that cross. If you're here today and you've never done that, you've never accepted the peace of Jesus on your life, then today can be that day when you truly accept that peace by just simply saying, Lord, come into my heart. I need that peace. I need you. Speak to me. Forgive me of my sins. I repent of those things that caused me to be at odds with you. Restore my relationship with God the Father through your sacrifice on the cross, Jesus, and help me to walk in that peace. This day and every day. If you're here today and you're living in a life that's less than peaceful, if you're living in a life that's been known more for chaotic, hectic things that you shouldn't have been, then may I just ask you that you take that deep breath and know that the Prince of Peace is still reigning today. And that peace that surpasses all understanding is available to you today. We just need to accept it. Take that deep breath and hear Jesus say over our hearts, over our minds, over our raging thoughts, our raging problems that are going on in the world around us, Shalom. May today be the day that we grasp a hold of that Shalom peace that is offered to us through our Son, through your Son, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. And we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.
Peace, bring it all, peace. Storm surrounding me, let it break. At your name, still. Call the sea still. The rage in me is still, every wave. At your name, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. You silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you in me is a light that so else can't deny. In me cannot be overcome.
Jesus, Jesus, the one who offers us peace in the midst of our troubles. What I'm going to ask you to do today is, before you leave here, just take a moment. I grew up in a Catholic church, and as a young child, I could never understand. They had this moment, they called it a moment of peace, and they would walk over to each other, and they would just go, "Peace be with you." And I never truly understood that until I became a little bit older, and I realized what they're really saying is shalom. And so may I encourage you today, before you walk out, walk over to someone and just wish them peace. Shalom. Shalom be with you. And accept that peace as you go forth for the rest of this week. Walk in that peace that is available to us from the Prince of Peace. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Thank you so much for the peace that you offer to us. And may we give it freely to others. In your most precious and holy name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Peace be with you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.